I'm going to, find it right here, read a couple of things here. And when I heard it, it struck me, And I thought, wow, you know, do you know, does anybody here not know what the word counterfeit means? Everybody? You know, something fake, false, you know? Like we use it here in terms of money, counterfeit money, fake money. But I heard this one person speaking. And I thought, wow, that's an awesome thought. I don't know if a whole lot of people are thinking about that. I'm going to read you a definition of a word. This word has a lot of definitions. All kind of similar, but a little bit different. I'm going down here to, you know how when you look up a word in the dictionary, I'll have A, B, C, D, you know, all the different meanings of that word or usages of it. Right here, let's see. Number 3. I'll read it. B here. The luminous irregular matter in the intervening medium, whatever that means. The luminous irregular envelope of a highly ionized gas outside the chronosphere. The top projecting part of a cornice, a crown-like or upper part of a structure such as the top on the top of the head, a crown-like part of a flower, usually between the petals and the stamens, but sometimes whatever. And that word I'm reading about is corona. Coronavirus. And I got thinking that guy, he didn't say it in these words, but a crown on a virus. Wait a minute, that ain't right. That sounds like something the enemy of our souls and of our persons and the enemy of God is involved with. To crown a virus. I don't know who came up with the name. I have no idea. Maybe they did. Maybe it's because I've seen slides on microscopes that show the virus in a microscope, but I don't recall it being shaped like that, roundish, whatever, but maybe it is. Maybe that's where they got the name. I don't know. But,
it is round in shape.
But I got to thinking how wrong that is, you know, to call it, put a crown on it. And then I looked up things about crown and word, and there's several, you know, like we'll be getting a crown of righteousness, and we, when the time comes, we will be laying our crowns before the Lord. But in Revelation 14:14, then I looked and beheld a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one, capital O, like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So I just looked that up and I just thought, I know who wears the real crown.
Yeah.
And you know who wears the real crown. A golden crown. Not no stinking virus, some germ that is a making people sick and actually killing them. So I thought, how low is, you know, the enemy? Well, we know how. And you say, well, he's a defeated enemy because of the cross. And he is. But we have power over him. But we're not in heaven yet. So we're in a fallen, we're still living in a fallen world. So sad and bad things happen. But yet we don't take it. We pray against it, defeat it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And it is, has anybody watched any news? I watched a little bit this morning while I was eating a sandwich.
Here,
and it was showing people fist fighting, some person getting knifed in a Walmart over bottled water. Just slugging it out over a bottle of water, and you know, the toilet paper deal. It is stunning. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed a few people, and each of them, in so many words, was saying, I am so disappointed in the way America reacted. And you know, you stop and think about it. I'm just going to say this, is my own prediction. I think in a week, a month, people will be saying, boy, we act like that for? Why did we only do that? You know, I mean, I understand there's danger.
Too flush.
And you don't go walking out in the middle of the traffic saying, Lord, protect me, Lord, protect me, and a bus runs over you. I'm like, Lord, it worked, by the Lord. You don't tempt God.
That's right.
You don't do that. You know, he gives you wisdom. And anyway, I am thankful the real crown is on the real King.
Amen, Joe. In that's
Jesus'
good.
Name.
Amen.
And anyway, there was something else here, but I can't remember right now. But I was to the radio, I think it was Friday, and they played some recordings of President Obama during 2009. 2009, 17,000 died from swine flu. 17,000. Not one basketball game, school, no border was closed, no flights canceled, no nothing. 17,000. And I look at our reaction here. Of course, I realize that it is around the world.
Pandemic,
you know,
that's what they say.
Hmm?
They say a pandemic.
Yes, and their reaction, the world's reaction, and it's looking like hell can be. I seen a guy say today it could have 40 million deaths around the earth. I just say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I must say all that because of this. I don't know if you ever watch prophets or listen to them. But we do. There's Elijah list. There's all kinds of people who God is speaking through.
Amen.
And if they weren't all pretty much in the same ballpark, you know, you kind of sometimes dismiss it unless a particular prophecy or whatever really hits your spirit. But so many of them are in the same area saying that this year and the decade, I mean, they're looking for, the Lord has said he's starting to do a work, not just in this country, but around the earth. So who hears that, the enemy, and say, I'm going to put a halt to that? Well, he always tries to interfere with God's plan, whether it's in your life, your country, or in the world. And I think this is his last big push to interrupt God's plan to stop this thing that's going to happen on the earth. And when I say this thing happened on the earth, I'm talking about millions being converted to Jesus and coming into the kingdom. I really believe that. And because why else? If you're not under persecution, nothing's happening. Nothing's good is on the horizon. Right?
Right.
If everything's rosy, thanks a lot, God, check with you later. I'm doing just fine. If I get in trouble, I'll come back to you. You know, but unfortunately, that's the attitude of a lot of people. But right now, there's an attack on the earth, an attack on the people, and I bet the enemy is smiling and grinning. Just like when he had Jesus on the cross. The enemy, the demons, the devil was partying. We got Jesus. We've got him on the cross. They're doing that right today, I think. They're celebrating. We've stopped churches. We've stopped interaction of people. We got them fighting, and we got fear, spirit of fear around
the
earth. And every place where you might not expect, right? person we were talking to yesterday. You know, church members, you know, go to church, been Christians all their life. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where to go. There's nothing to do. I'm afraid to go out. Like,
they don't really know.
They forget who their God is.
Like, man, you know, do you know what? The worst thing to happen to you if you get coronavirus and die, you're going to see Jesus. Okay, that's really a tough sentence. I'll be with the king. I'm with the king. It's where I'm going to be anyway because of his blood was shed for me and you. So, doesn't mean we can be idiots, you know, and but be smart, wash, you know, so forth, but live in fear, I don't think so.
No.
I think that is such an affront to our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
That, like, wow, do you not have this right here? And that Psalm 91, you listen to different people, and they say, well, first of all, I'd like you to turn, read you a word here out of Psalm 91. That has hit everybody, spirit, pastors, and prophets. That's what they're nailing the devil with.
Yeah.
Psalm 91, because that's what Jesus used in the desert, the word to drive Satan off, right, and tempt him. But anyway, I don't know if you know, coronavirus, a virus with a crown. Ooh, I don't lift it up. I don't think so. You know, that's just an insult to the king who wears the real crown. So, Father God, we know we live in a fallen world, but you sent us Jesus and we have victory. In the end, I've read the end of this book and we win. Yes, there's trials and tribulations along the way, but through them you promised to be with us. You would never forsake us. And we stand on that word, Lord God. We know we have the blood of Jesus. We have the power and the authority that Jesus gave us. We are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus, meaning all the benefits that our Lord Jesus in heaven has, we have. We have. And we thank you, Father God, for that. I pray that people realize just who they are in Jesus. We've got power. We've got authority in the name and the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God. We just thank you. We praise you. And we worship you. And we're going to do that right now. And I pray that our incense, our praise and worship is a sweet smell rising into heaven this morning, Lord God, in thanksgiving and gratitude for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, when you're going in your temple, which is your body, comes into his presence, and you feel that presence, and you know that presence, it makes you feel, or shows you who you really are. It's so complete, but it fills you all up, and it's a wonderful feeling. When we got a chance to minister this weekend, the Holy Spirit came quite a few times and fast, I almost went out again. And it encompassed the whole area. And when you know that glory, that's what he wants to bring to us. He wants us to get into that presence and just forget about you. Forget about all the circumstances, everything that is going on. And when you come into that presence with that intimate time with him, he just fills it with joy, fills it with peace. And nothing in this world can do that. And it's like, truthfully, you really almost can't stand. There's been times when have gone so heavy on me that it's like I can't stand or feel like I'm going to pass out. And I'd love everybody to kind of have that experience. But right now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to a lot of people if you're pressing into Him. He's showing all kinds of things and different ways to pray globally for people. And so I want to stop the praise and worship here, and I want to share with you different things that the Lord has shared with me. Amen?
Amen.
For some of you, the Holy Spirit might speak to you in a very quiet way. You know, you're just supposed to go to talk to Him. When I would be in here by myself, or Diane and I would be in here, and I would just come in here and just sit in His presence and just let Him fill me up. With all that was going on and all the panic that I saw and everything out there, I said, Lord, wow, I was happy that we were just visiting here. I was amazed. I had a doctor's appointment, and so I had sent Joe to the store to get a few things, and he picked up a few things, and he called on the phone. He goes, oh my gosh, he says you just wouldn't believe all the shelves and everything that are just wiped out. And the kids, my son, he said, Mama, he goes, the Lord keeps on telling me about 2 Timothy. And he goes, you know, I've been praying that. And I said, well, that's really tuned. And Mom's been praying in Psalms 91. And every person who is tuned in to the Holy Spirit is going to hear Psalms 91. And Psalms 91 is talking how He shelters us. And so this is the thing that I wrote down. I have never seen humans panic like I have. I've been in 12 different bomb threat scares, getting thousands of high schoolers out of buildings. But I've never seen this panic so bad. There was a gentleman who got on TV, Cindy Jacobs was talking, and I have sat many times in Cindy Jacobs' meeting in her early years, different conferences. One of the things that she spoke about was she had an Asian guy that was there. Did anybody see it? This Asian gentleman told about what was happening from where his parents were living at and where he was raised at, China, Korea, kind of in that Asian area, if I can just say it that way, forgive me. And he said that people were panicking so bad that they were blaming the Asian people. And he lived in New York. And he said that when he was on the subway, there was an Asian young person that was there, and someone on the subway beat him up so badly because he was Asian. That he was the cause of this virus. There are people that blame other people when a crisis happens, because they don't know what to do. The fear makes them accuse everybody else. And I really believe this is a warning from the Lord saying, bring it to Him. You're not to come against other people that are different races than you or different religions than you. And this was brought on by the demons of hell. Jesus didn't bring it on. And anybody that blames God, God is a faithful God. If I do not believe in my whole heart as I stand here before you that God brought these plagues or this virus or whatever you want to call it, that's not our God. That's false teaching. God is a loving God. And when I constantly think about him coming down on the cross for you and me, boy, his love is great, because I'll tell you what, most of us wouldn't have done that. He loves us. He loved that Asian person that got beat up in New York. But this young man was making a testimony how cruel the world is and how they panic. And when people panic, they begin to hoard. And what I mean by that is they get as many canned goods as they want, and they're outdated, and they sit on a shelf or they pile up into some kind of area. So, hey, we always got food. That's not my father. That's you. That's your fear. The Lord doesn't care if you pick up some things and you get extra toilet paper and sanitizer and stuff like this. He really doesn't. But when you get more than you really need and you don't give it out to other people, that's fear. And that's a demon of hell. I don't believe it's Satan himself. I believe it's demons. And one of the things that the Lord said to me is, your faith will arise. Because there will come a time when you can only depend on him to take you through the storm. And one of the things that the Lord showed me is that he provides healing, and he provides protection, and he will heal you if you ask him to and you call upon his name. It is his great name. If you've attended this church for a period of time, you know how upset I was when we had the National Day of Prayer 3 years ago, and nobody said his great name. It was a little bit of song, a little bit of dance about, hey, let's just pray together. Hey, the only thing that can help you, take care of you, is the name of Jesus Christ. I'm serious. His great name. And the one thing that I heard the Lord speak was, you need to believe it. I can say it from this pulpit, but you have to believe it for yourself. You have to speak it out of your mouth. This is the year of the mouth. So when you go and go, oh, I'm so panicky about this, blah, 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 what kind of testimony is that? Speak the truth. Speak his blessings. Speak his promises. The other thing is to pray. I told you this was the year of prayer. This was the time that you cried out to the Lord, petitioned to the Lord. And I don't want you to misunderstand, but Vicki, is our podcast going right now? Well, I just want every person globally that's listening to the podcast, as well as this church, to know not to have fear, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to pray. And it's not, Lord, protect me. I'm really scared. It's like, Satan, you have no power and you have no authority over me. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ on me, on my family, on my church family, on my nation, and you need to proclaim that. You need to proclaim his great name. Not Buddha, not all the other gods that are out there. Jesus. Yeshua, he is the only one. And you have to apply it. And apply it is when you see someone that's in trouble, whatever, you begin to apply what you know within yourself. These people that Joe and I got a chance to speak to, please don't misunderstand. They've been in eldership in their church. They've been deacons. They work. They go every Sunday. But the fear was so great on them. So scared of people. So scared of the demons of hell. This is the time to rise up. This is the time to pray. This is the time to start proclaiming out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen. The other thing that the Lord showed me is that there are many people that have anxiety. They don't know what to do. They panic. They get on messaging, they whatever. I've seen so much of it. And I message back with a word of encouragement. I message back about his name. I talk about bleeding the blood on yourself. So when we've talked forever about putting the armor of God on, you do it. Every day you get up and you say, I plead the blood of Jesus on me. Lord, send your angels before me. And do not take it lightly, because this is an open heaven. He is sending angels. I asked the Lord, I think it was last Sunday, I'm not really for sure, but I have been told that when the chairs are empty in this place, that they are filled with angels. And I don't always proclaim that to you, but I know it. And I saw four angels that sat in the back of this church last Sunday. And I kept it to myself, but I knew their presence. I knew that they had been sent. I knew that when I looked out, people were crying and lifting their hands up and worshiping the Lord. Like there was a breaking of you. Come on. And the other thing was, when I spoke with Chris, what day was it, Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday, Chris goes, oh my gosh. He said, you know, I didn't know where all that sound was coming from. I didn't even know who was playing all those instruments. You might go, ooh, that kind of wigs me out. Ooh, that's kind of scary. But when the presence of angels are here, they celebrate every time you worship alongside of you. Isn't that powerful? Come on. And one of our warfare things is worshiping the King. Worship Him with every part of your being. Don't worry about your friends, what they think, and, you know, hey, you know, your hair's messed up, and all that everything. But we're not to live in any fear. We're not to live in any anxiety. And the Lord kept on telling me over and over again about His secret place. When our granddaughter was born, the Lord had given me about how He was keeping her in a secret place. It was a peaceful place. There were angels. We had many people that have made comments to us about angels arguing over her when she's gone into surgery. They've seen it. They didn't understand it. They'll just confess it to us. Are you with me for a minute? The Lord wants you to be in a secret place. Isn't that amazing? You're to be in the secret place. You're to know that He is covering you, that He's taking care of you, that when you go into different places, that angels have been set before you, but it's for your protection. Every time you do something, you need to be in that secret place. You need to spend time in that secret place. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I walk in some places, sometimes when Joe and I have really praised the Lord beyond like 3 or 4 hours, all of a sudden His presence will come and you can just feel it in our upstairs area, and it's like you can't even move. His presence is so strong. I can feel His presence now. I don't know if you can or not, but I really can. The other thing that I put down here is you have to realize He's Lord Almighty. His past, His moves, everything He does isn't according to your agenda. That took me a little time to get that. But you can rely on Him and you can trust Him. When I spoke with my friend who came back from Germany, the next day they said nobody could come back into the United States from Europe. And she said that the Lord spoke to her before they got on the plane and said, switch airplanes, switch lights. And she was sharing that with me. And I said, oh, I get it. I understand. So we had this wonderful time talking how the Lord had gone before her. She's back here in the United States. She's not sick. Nothing happened to her. But she heard the Lord give her a warning. And if you're tuned in, he will give you warnings as well. Don't go there. Is that what I asked you to do? I don't know about you guys, but when you're trying to do different things to the Lord, you need to know that that's what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. I don't know about you, I'm a compulsive person. And sometimes that has saved my life for a lot of things. But the Lord says that when you get in that secret place, in that presence, he wants you to understand his glory, and it will literally fill a room. Now, when Cindy Jacobs was talking after this gentleman was giving his testimony, he started repenting. But hey, the new thing that's out there is you don't need to repent. Well, I got news for you. Everything that is the sin that you do, you should repent about it, give it to the Lord, and move on. This is the time to repent for all the babies that were aborted in the world. This is the time to repent for the different things, the different sins that we have allowed in. And the Lord is powerful in that and taking care of it and not giving you condemnation. And as I was writing some of this down from the Lord, I heard the Lord say that the terror of night, you guys understand what that means in the Bible? The terror of night is this coronavirus. That's a terror in the night. Now, I don't know about you, but I was always taught for years about the midnight cry, the midnight hour. When I came up here up north, people didn't even know what I was talking about. The midnight cry at 12 o'clock has to deal with what happened with Jesus Christ. And that's when the demons of hell at 12 o'clock midnight start moving. Now, what I've learned, just hearsay, is that armies and whatever military people, when they want to go and take the enemy out, they go at nighttime. I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. But what I realized was, that's when people are asleep. So when you're in that secret place of the Most High God, and you're praying, and you're crying out, and you notice it's 12 to 3, I just want you to know all the witches, all the warlocks, everybody's been coming against you, the president, your family. Do not be fooled. Demons are acting very fast right now, and you need to be able to get up and say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I plead the blood on my bed. I plead the blood on my house. I plead the blood on myself. This is an important time for you to get this. Another thing that the Lord said was, are you a worshiper or not? You know, the Lord really doesn't care if you really are constantly in tune. Oh, your pitch is perfect. Oh, just listen to me. Praise the Lord. He loves to see you say, Lord, I thank you. I glorify your name. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. I'm trusting you. This coronavirus is not going to affect me. It's not going to affect my family. He didn't care. He didn't care how you say it. He just wants you to say it. Start confessing it's not going to touch you. It's not going to touch your loved ones. Are you with me in what I'm trying to show you this today? One of the scriptures also says, that he will give you distractions. So when I used to do conferences, or the Lord would send me someplace, I try to get before the Lord because I know that the phone's going to ring. I'm going to get a message from someone. And every woman that I've asked to be on a committee, or even a guy, I take down the night before, and this is the reason why. I don't want you to answer your phone. Well, my kids, oh my gosh, my kids. Where's your trust? Satan always attacks someone. One of your kids will be sick, have to go to the hospital, blah, 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 blah. Are you with me? When you get in that secret place, you have to have enough trust that the Lord's going to take down that kid's fever, that kid isn't going to be kidnapped. Someone's going to help you with the crisis. Please really hear that from the Lord. So when you take time and you get in His presence, you're sold out to Him. You're focusing in on Him. He's showing you what to pray about. That's what this is all about. And He will bring a peace. This is warfare. This is not, oh Lord. This is like, I don't think so, Satan. Don't even try it. Don't attempt it. Don't do that. I mean, it's like you got to be bold, is what I heard from the Lord. You got to stand. You got to know that the different prophecies that you've heard or the Lord has allowed us to share with you, that you take those things, you look at them in the Word, you pray about them, and you move in them. And every person that we have trusted has all been talking about Psalms 91. Amazing. So, I want to read that for you this morning. So don't read my Bible. You should be reading this. When you go to bed, I want you to read Psalms 91 and claim it over you, over your family, over your church family, over the schools, over your governmental buildings. Are you kind of tuning into me, what I'm trying to say? Okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. There it is. Trust in Him. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That's the enemy. That's the coronavirus. That's the things that are coming against you right now. And from the perilous pestilence. People have been reporting that locusts have been in the atmosphere. Unbelievable amount of locusts. Different things going on all the time that just don't make any sense. Well, hey, if you don't know the Word, and you don't know Jesus, and you can't trust for your life and Him to take care of you, you're in big trouble. It says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wing you shall take refuge. I will never forget that. That when you're sick, you don't feel good, things are going on, it says that He covers you. He protects you. I took them down. With our prayer shawls, He covers you with that prayer shawl. You're in with Him. And you know what is so powerful? Is when you take that prayer shawl, and I got to explain this to someone who was only 11 years old, and I was so excited. And I says, this is a tallit. This is a prayer shawl. This is what people do when they pray. Yeah. And they put it on top of themselves, and they pray. It doesn't make a difference, because we're under the new covenant, whether you're male or female. In the Old Testament, it was only men that did it. But we're under the new covenant, which allows male and female. And you might go, so what? Well, you see, when you put that prayer, Sean, demons of hell can come around you, John, can come around you, can come around your kids. But you know, he doesn't know who's under that prayer shawl. He can't touch that prayer shawl. Do you understand that? You might go, whoa, thank you, Karen, for doing that. Thank you. So if I was up front here, and I'm going to kind of just demonstrate it for a minute. If I was up front here, and I was like this, and of course I got a skirt on, so you can tell it's a female, but I don't know that anymore. But anyways, when I'm like this praying, you really don't know who's under there, do you? Do you? And you know what? You might kind of laugh about this, and maybe you never was brought up understanding the symbolisms of stuff. But you see, Jesus is a Jew. We're grafted in, thank God. And he wore this all the time. And he walked around, he kind of had it like this. And when he walked around, it said the woman that had the issue of blood, and I got to tell this a little girl, she goes, you mean like that girl that, you know, was bleeding? And it says she touched the hem of his garment and blew me right away, blew me away. And I went, yeah, did you hear that, church? Yeah. And I said, well, this is what she touched. These are prayers. So I said, and she was just amazed because it was so precious that this was the hem of his garment that he wore. So it was the power came from him to that woman that no doctor could cure. That's powerful to me. So this right here, when you wear one of these, I don't know what they cost now. This one's Karen's because it has the shofar on it. That's kind of a long story in itself. But when you wear it, you're in the secret place. That means Joe can come over here and talk to me and I don't even know it's Joe. Or demons come around me and I can't see them. It's because we're hidden away with him. Isn't that powerful? I think that is so powerful, I wish everybody knew it. And that's just kind of a little bit. Thank you, Karen. And a lot of people don't know that those different colors on those prayer shawls stands for how old you are. A lot of people don't know that either. Anyways, he shall cover you with, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I'm not sugarcoating this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. There it is. You don't have to be afraid of those viruses. You shall not be afraid, verse 5, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lay waste at noonday. Verse 7, and I love this. You know how to pray. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague. They call this a plague, people. Come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Verse 12. In their hands they shall bear you up. Isn't that awesome? That means, hey, you know, they can pick you right up and take you somewhere else. Hey, you might not want to. It's not the spooky stuff on the movie, but those angels, when they're commissioned from God to do something, they can lift you up. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, and you shall trample underfoot. And this is why I love this, verse 14, because he has set his love upon you. We're going to be set free from this plague, pestilence, whatever you want to call it. Why? Because of God's mercy. And because he loves us.
Pastor Marie, I just want to interrupt because I don't know what Bible you're using, but I've got mine just like yours.
I have the New King James.
Okay, verses 14 through 16 are in red.
Oh.
Which means that is God,
speaking it. And I've always known that. His love is speaking to you. His mercy is for you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He knew your name before your mom gave you that name or your dad. He shall call upon me and I will answer them. And I will be with them or him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah! The secret place of the Most High God. And then I said that my son said, well, Mom, you know, I'm claiming that over my family, but also 2 Timothy, which is way in the back, if you can find it fast enough. Second Timothy 1:7. I love this. Please hear this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Didn't I tell you that was what this was all about? But the power and of love and a sound mind. I think that is so awesome to know that we're not to have fear. And I really wanted you to hear that this morning. I have other verses for you, so spend some time. Reread it. Let that be your verse. Psalm 91, 1 through 16. Also Psalms 112, verse 7. I just read 2 Timothy 1:7 to you. Jeremiah 1:12. Psalms 3, verse 5. Psalms 127:2. Psalms 34:7. I believe this is a time, this is a critical time, this is a turning time. This is a time to know who we are in Jesus Christ. And I heard someone say on TV, I thought it was kind of cute, of course Marie didn't get it at first, but she talked about all the hazmat people and how they were wearing all yellow. And she said they looked like bees. And I thought, oh, that's what she tried to say. And she says, you know, if you could just think of the bees, you know how they sting you like that? And I thought it was so cute. She said that she believed that those yellow suits were a sign that the Lord is, that Satan is just trying to sting us with this, sting us with that, sting us with that. But the Lord is sheltering us under that great big wing. And I just thought that was really awesome. That is a great comparison. So if I can, you will hear all kinds of things from the media. I believe a lot of it is false. I believe a lot of it is exaggerated. But I really do believe that this is the time that we war, that the church arises, and that we protect our family. The other way you protect your family is by lifting them up to the Lord Jesus Christ. You try to control their lives, but you can't. All that you can do is give them to Jesus. They belong to him anyways. And I heard Larry Sparks, and I've just kind of got to know him a little more and more. And Larry Sparks said this. He said that this is the time for the church to roar with the lion of the tribe of Judah saying, enough is enough. And I love that, and I want to leave that with you. Roar in your prayer. Well, you know, I'm very quiet and I'm very shy. Well, this ain't the time to be quiet. This ain't the time to be shy. This is the time to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and take a stand. And one of the things I want to tell John that's here today, not to embarrass him, but I saw a couple of Facebooks and he took a stand a couple times, that the ones that I read. And I was so proud of him. He proclaimed the name of Jesus with all that was going on.
Hallelujah.
That went globally, John. Congratulations. The king is aware of that. Hallelujah. And I really believe that this is a time for miracles. Because do you remember when I read a prophecy from Lana Wasser and I said that she was talking about that Asia was coming forth, you know, the underground churches was coming forward. Well, who got here first? Just really, you know, like, come on, isn't enough enough? And so, you know, it's like pushing them back under. And so I just really want you to hear that. I believe this is the time to be united. This is the time to be one body. And this is the time to pray. This is the time to lift up his great name and say, enough is enough. And it's time for healings. It's time for authority. And you can be that tool. You can be that light that the Lord wants to use out there. And if you just give me like 10 minutes, I want to share something with you. Because I know this is St. Patrick's Day as well as the prayer part. But one of the things that I read about St. Patrick is that it really was a real person. And when St. Patrick was just a young person, like a teenager, he was sold into slavery. And when he got sold into slavery, he escaped, only to return back to Ireland again. And when he was in Ireland, I was blown away by this. What amazed me was he ended up being a bishop of a church. And if you ever hear the word bishop, it's just not Catholics alone. I've learned that some people don't feel that they're pastors. They believe they're like bishops. They're like overseers of the church. And that's between them and the Lord. But what was amazing was he became an apostle of the Lord. And he ended up building many churches there, ministering to the people. And there was idol worship on the land. And he would talk about the Lord, and the Lord told him that his grace would take care of him, and that if he reached out to the poor people, which we have been studying about, that they would actually become rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you have the Word inside of you, that's more valuable than anything. And another thing I want to tell you about St. Patrick's, and it's kind of a joke, is that he was the first one that established about the three clover, the clover leaf, and he said it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he used that as a demonstration. You see, the teacher part of me put this up here that the Lord wants us to go deeper in his Word. Well, you know, hey, that's who I am. I guess I still have a teacher's anointing on me. And I want you to understand that when you see that shamrock, that's how he explained to the people. He explained to the people that there was a Father, which is God, there was the Son, which was Jesus Christ, and it's in the encyclopedias, I'm making this up, and that there was the Holy Spirit. Couldn't everybody get that? Mm-hmm. But they were all three, and what about that clover? They're all hooked together, aren't they? So he could explain the Trinity, three in one. And I thought that was cool, and this is kind of something you might not have known, but if you read National Geographic. In Ireland, there are no snakes. None, even today. And many people believe that the more he kept on bringing up the name of Jesus, that it stopped the creatures from creeping in on the people, because there were deadly snakes in Ireland, and there's none to this day. Isn't that powerful? Wouldn't you like to know that? I did. I just kind of made me, I like little things like that, little tidbits, whether off actual, but according to the study I did, it was true. So what's this all about? It's for the glory of God. He wants to bring his glory to earth. He wants people to be healed and set free and not to be in fear. It's all about him. It's all about what he wants to do. And I also wrote down this, and it kind of excited me, but there's so much that you could teach about St. Patrick's Day. But I felt like the Lord said that you are to know that you are blessed and you are loved, and you need to get in that secret place of the Most High God. Isn't that exciting?
Awesome.
It's kind of exciting that the Lord cares that much for you. And the other thing I put down here was, this is what the Lord said. Right now in Africa, they have the locust, as Ethiopia. And in Australia, Joe and I saw where they had drought. And fires. And we've seen the Wall Street go up and down and who knows what. We've seen people go crazy. We've seen fear cause people to act in stupid ways. And excuse me for putting it that way. But one of the things that the Lord said, that this is the time for believers to rise up. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are born again, rise up. Tell them the goodness. Tell them the miracles. Lay your hands on someone and pray for them. Ask God for guidance. And you will see deliverances and all kinds of things take place. Why? Because you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you moved up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So dear Heavenly Father, I ask right now that you seal all this. I thank you, Father, that we have all authority in your great name. I thank you, Father, that every person that came here today, Father, that you will bless them, that you will send angels around them, that, Father, that they can trust in you, that, Father, they know that you are covering them, Lord. And may all this, Father, that is going on, miracles to take place, people praying together, people crying out globally to help other people, other nations, Lord God. Father, we ask for your move by your Holy Spirit upon this world and upon the church right here, Lord God, and churches right here in the United States. And Father, we thank you. We seal it by your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And Vicki also told me that, and we listened to a little bit of it, Kenneth Copeland talked about this too, and he also talked about Psalms 91 as well. And to realize that Satan just wants to stop revival taking place, and that's with the young people. And when Chris came in and we had a few discussions and everything, and you have over 200 people, and then there's only 80, there's, you know what I'm saying, that all the kids that could have been there wasn't there because of fear. So I'm telling you that he's trying to rob what he really has for you. You know, that Satan is robbing the things, and I really believe that this next great revival is going to come from the children. And so, anyways, I really want you to hear this proof in Jesus' name.